This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
Cool. So, good morning, David. For the context, I'm here with David Meltzer, motivational speaker, author, entrepreneur. How's your stay in Malta been so far?
Incredible. I've had so many people, especially with Junior Achievement from Malta. It's such an entrepreneurial place. But the history here intrigues me immensely. I study history all the time because human nature never changes. And Malta has a history that is so deep and rich and long that you see trends of human nature from the wars to Einstein to so many different things that will allow me to help other people understand to find what people like and don't like.
Cool. So I'm going to take it back and give you context to why we're here. So a few years ago, you might not remember, but I messaged you. It was just the start of my startup journey around 4 years ago. And we had spoken, you had shared some really good advice. Since then, a lot has changed. So in the 4 years now, we are one of the more established brands on the island. And what I'm going to write now is essentially detaching more and more from the startup and giving myself space for relationships, for different things and exploring new things. At the beginning, you know how it is. Your business takes a hit, you take a hit, and it's just very up and down. So what was your journey of detaching your emotional side to the business, and how has that impacted your career, your life, your relationships?
Well, my entire emotional attachment was the money.
Okay.
And so obviously, money plays a big part of business. I wanted to be rich to buy my mom a house, to buy my mom a car. And so if my bank account went up $100, I would be excited. If it went down $100, I'd be disappointed, even when I was worth over $100 million.
Crazy.
My relationship with money was I identified with how much money I made.
Exactly.
So businesses that I had were the vehicles to making the money, but the money itself is what I identified with. So when the business went down, my money went down. So I had two things to worry about on top of what you normally worry about or you are anxious about in life. And so by losing everything, I lost over $100 million and went bankrupt, which we could talk about later. I learned to attach my emotions to my day by learning from the past and aligning the lessons with where I want to be in the future or better, and changing my own self-image, notating that I know one thing about self-image: you will never overachieve your own self-image. And so if your self-image is attached, your emotions are attached to something that you don't have control over, like your business, like your bank account, you're in big trouble.
You're in big trouble. And what was that like turning period for you? What triggered it, and was the painful? Year, 2 years of having that realization, which maybe people have at different times in their life. And then what did you do after having the realization? Was it therapy? Was it discussing with people? What was it?
Well, for me, my basement hit 2 years before I lost everything. I sat after my wife told me she was unhappy and leaving me. And I sat in bed the next morning full of hate. I hated my mom. I hated my dad. I hated my best friend, and I hated my wife. But I felt everyone else loved me. And I thought to myself, what's going on here? I love all these people, but they don't really love me. And the people that really love me, I hate. Why is that? Because they told me the truth. And the truth vibrates the fastest. And on that day, my last thing, two things my wife told me, after she said she was leaving me, she said, you better take stock in who you were and what you want to become, or you're going to end up dead. And then she said something that really hit home. She said, what if your mom, the one I love the most, what if she knew who you really were? Because my wife lived with me every day. She knew who I really was. And I kept thinking about it. I don't hate any of them. I hated myself.
Yeah.
And all the reasons I hated them was I hated myself, and they were telling me the truth about myself or everyone else. There's this huge gap today, and I want to know all entrepreneurs to learn this. I want my children to learn this. I know who I am today. I'm 55 years old. When I was 35, I didn't. I was in this energy crisis between, I knew who I was back then, but all my attention was on what I wanted to p people to think I was.
Yes.
And that gap is a dangerous gap. And it was 2 years of reconstructing my life and my values to get to a point when I finally lost everything. I was on that road. My mom knew it, my dad knew it, my best friend knew it, and my wife knew it. I was on the path to losing everything. I just didn't know it because I was lying to myself. And when it finally happened, I actually was more prepared. I had been elevated and empowered far beyond where I was at my basement. Even though I still had everything, the real low was when my wife was going to leave me. Thank goodness she didn't. Been married 26 years, have 4 kids, added a son since then, which was wonderful. But I want to make sure entrepreneurs know that it is about I am and the light, the love, and the lessons that we learn and being honest and illuminate. Here's the irony, Zach. If you would have met me when I was 35, worth over $100 million, we wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't want to learn anything from me.
Interesting.
I had all the money, but nobody ever asked me for any advice. Well, you know what they would ask me for? My money.
Exactly.
Now I have more money than ever. I help more people than ever, and I definitely have more fun. Look out the window. But more people ask me for help than most people on earth, entrepreneurs at least.
Cool. My next question is another thing you really say, which is kind of your mission, I think, which is the consistent pursuit of your potential. So I remember hearing that a few years ago, and I really like the longevity of that, the long-term thinking of that. So for someone who never heard that, what does that mean? And how does it manifest in your day-to-day?
Well, it is my mission to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. My definition of happy are people who make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, because I've never met anyone that makes a lot of money to help a lot of people and has fun doing it. So I came up, okay, how am I going to do this? I'm going to teach people like you, Zach, to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your potential. Not what other people think, not what's missing, not what you don't have, but what you want in a trajectory of where you want to be or better by giving meaning to the failures, mistakes, and setbacks, the struggles, the successes, the defining moments, the historical relevances are all aligned in my life to where I want to be or better, which is to empower over 1 billion people to create abundance, to live in the world of more than enough. And so that definition of happiness, enjoying, finding the light, the love, and the lessons, doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing every day in a trajectory of where you want to be by learning from the past, not punishing yourself with the past, promoting and protecting yourself. And believe it or not, even reconciled within the definition of happiness and success for me, enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential is faith. Because all of it comes together when you believe there's something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom. See, in that belief, and you said it's a long, when you first heard it, you're like, that's a really long look at life. And the reason it is, and we talked about attaching your emotions to outcomes, this is how I see it. Good behavior creates an instant outcome. All behaviors create an instant outcome. The problems are human beings are not capable of knowing outcomes. They don't know it instantly. See, good behavior creates good progress, but we're not capable of seeing good progress. Bad behavior creates bad progress, but we're not capable of seeing progress. On the long run, good behavior creates good outcomes, but even to make it more complex, when good outcomes happen, like losing everything, you talk about a basement, I have a basement. I lost everything, including my mom's house. I told you, only reason I want to be rich is buy my house. I
You
had to
lost
tell her
it.
she had to move because I forgot to take my name off of the title. But I have this faith and understanding. Number one, I have faith that I should have good behavior because eventually all the outcomes are better will happen in my life. If I have bad behavior, I'm going and accelerating in the wrong trajectory. It aggregates, compounds exponentially, and accelerates the outcomes. But here's the interesting thing. Outcomes, we still aren't, even if it takes 20 years. If it took me 20 years to go bankrupt, which it almost did, I didn't know or understand the outcome. So with faith, even a bankruptcy, losing your mom's house is protecting and promoting you. Why? Because I will tell you now, 15 years later, that if I didn't lose everything, I would have ended up dead and definitely divorced,
mm-hmm.
which are two of the greatest tragedies that I could have had in my life, in my mission.
Yeah.
And instead, I'm here today because I learned the light, the love, and the lessons from losing over $100 million
yeah.
in a trajectory of changing the world.
And at that time, did you know this?
Oh, no. No.
So that's my question. When that happens, because you know, when you see it on paper, it looks good. But I've experienced it when something goes wrong. You feel like everything's crumbling. You feel very blindsided by emotions. So what's your advice to someone who understands these things, which maybe this is me. I understand the theory of it.
Me too.
But putting it into practice when something hits the fan is just a different story. So
it's funny that Einstein has such a tie to Malta.
True.
He does. And look it up if you don't believe me. Because I started to study Einstein in his theory of relativity and time. And what I realized was that all emotions cannot be quantified because logic and emotions are disparate from each other. They're not the same. You can't out logic emotions. If you're upset, you can't say, let it go.
Yeah.
That doesn't help you.
Yeah.
Right. If someone else is.
That's what everyone tries to do, right?
Right. If someone's depressed and you say, oh, look at the glasses half full.
Yeah.
F you half full. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
So here's what I realized about time. I can use it as a quantitative measurement. This is what Einstein taught. So if something happens like losing everything and I identify the fear that I'm not worthy, that I have a need to be right, I have a need to be superior, I have a need to be anxious, frustrated, angry, worried, guilty, resentful, I then can start identifying my fear as fear of a past, fear of something in the past, or fear of my future. Those are the only two types of fear.
Yeah.
I know humans and human nature react to fear with ego. It's like breathing. You don't have to think about it.
It just
you don't
out.
Have to think about the ego evoking itself when you're afraid. So now I'm looking at what ego do I evoke when I'm afraid of losing everything and then lose everything.
Amazing.
Then I say to myself, okay, I'm going to shorten the amount of time that I feel shameful. I'm gonna shorten it. So I felt first day it happened, every waking minute I felt blame, shame, and justification. I felt a need to be inferior, unworthy, all the egos, right? Yeah. I had a need to flee.
Yeah.
Right.
But then when you can see it.
Right. And so then so then tomorrow I'll say, you know what? I spent 16 hours in that way. Tomorrow I'm going to spend 15 hours and 59 minutes.
Nice.
And it's just a matter of minutes.
It's a good way to see
until it. I spend minutes and moments by practicing that. And then you get better at all the other fears. So ironically, this theory that people can understand, when you put into a quantitative measurement that we all share, the time a particle of light leaves the sun and hits the earth, called time, we all have 24 hours a day. If you get into the practice of shorting the amount of time that you're spending interfering with who you are, you're going to be more of who you are. So instead of being more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, more worthy, more worried, more angry, more anxious, more depressed, let's figure out what you're doing to interfere with it.
Yeah.
I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. Every day, I'm just identifying what I'm doing to interfere with it, combined with my faith that there's an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source, an abundant, infinite, more than enough world for more than enough, for more than enough, everything for everyone. I just interfere with it. And I teach young entrepreneurs like you, old entrepreneurs like me, to stop interfering with their potential. How? By enjoying the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of their potential.
Love it. Love it, honestly. Another thing which had really, and I remember this, and I said this in a conversation recently, is to be more interested than interesting. And I think back to the ego and how that plays into things, I feel when someone achieves a level of success, that can become their identity in full. And then that's all they get excited about. That's all they can talk about. And I've seen that push away friends. I've seen that just people around that person building resentment. And I remember saying, I just don't want to be that guy who's really annoying. And being more interested than interesting is a really good way to do that. So what does that mean to you? Again, how do you do that to this day?
Yeah.
And what are the impacts of doing that from your perspective?
Well, first of all, a mission of adding value to people's exactly. life, appreciating value. There's only two ways to add value to people's life. There's so many sales out there. I've actually created a new 5 to Thrive sales system that I give for free. So anyone out there at David Meltzer or David at D Meltzer, I'll send you this 5 to Thrive system. Here's what it is. It's based off of being more interested than interesting. Only two ways to provide value to people. Give them more of what they like or take away some or all of what they don't like. Mm. If I give you more of what you like, it's value.
Yep.
If I take away some or all of what you don't like, it's value.
Yep.
So then in order to find out how to provide value to you, I need to know what you like and don't like about the subject matter that I want to help you with or you need help with.
Yep.
And so I created this open question guide to open minds because today you and I would have never met before but for technology.
Yeah.
And now we have the whole world is our total addressable community. Community of people that want to help each other, know people that can help each other. In order to help each other, we need to know what we like and what we don't like. We're going to build a community of people that help each other and know people that help each other because for a lifetime, Zach and David, we're going to buy from each other and sell for each other.
Yep.
Our ideas, our content, if we ever have product solutions, services, books, free guide, whatever it is, we're going to sell for each other and from each other. And in order to do so, we have to be more interested. Sure. You got to ask people, hey, what are you doing today for your podcast? What do you like about it, Zach? What don't you like about it, Zach?
Yeah.
Would it help you if I distribute it through all the millions of followers I have on my TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, FaceTime, Facebook, you know, Instagram Reels, Facebook fan page, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then I can ask you as well as I provide value by being more interested. Do you know anyone that can help me?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, bigger total addressable community of 7.6 billion people around the world. And now we have this community that started with like Noah's Ark, two people who helped each other.
Yep.
And then they go get two people to help each other. And then four people, then eight, then 16, instead of one by one trying to be more interesting by saying, hey, you know, I won a variety of magazines, sports manager, the other El Silent Medal of Honor. I got six TV shows, five podcasts in this, you know, me.
Yeah. We see this through content. I mean, we built our whole platform by giving value and identifying what that value is. And that comes with even like killing your ego a bit by having the ability to ask that question and being ready for the answer to break the identity of what you think is right or wrong, right?
Yeah.
So being curious, I think, just has so many advantages in content, in sales, in relationships, in everything you do. So I really like that. I'm going to jump back to what you were saying about the hating your brother, hating your mother, and what led you to the point of the bankruptcy in the context of insecurities. So we know insecurities drive most of our decisions, and so does our ego. Looking at your childhood and looking back at your early days, what were the things that molded you in a way that led that to happen? And then you obviously made a U-turn, but what were those early moments, if you can define them?
I can, very clearly. So number one, I thought money would buy me love and happiness because the only time I wasn't loved or happy was when I was short on money.
Okay.
Two, I thought that humility came from giving. And I thought the more you give, the more you receive, which is true. But somebody didn't teach me the first part of it, which is the more you receive, the more you can give, the more you give, the more you receive.
Small detail.
Important. Small detail. But very few people talk about that detail, which is one of my mottos. Make a lot of money to help a lot. It's not help a lot of people to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. It's make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun. The more money you make, the more people you help, the more money will come back to you.
Yep.
But they forget that first part.
Yep.
And so that nuance led me to this idea of humility. And humility was something that had to be learned. You talked about this before. So there's the radical humility of knowing I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. The more I know, it's not the less I know, it's the more I know, the more I learn, there's more to know.
Yep. Exactly.
And that's another nuance that people say, oh, you know, the more I know, the less. No, the more you know more. But by knowing more, there's more to know.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you learn to love what you do, it tells you all its secrets. Well, you don't learn to love what you do without knowing what you're doing by doing it consistently and persistently. So for me, understanding humility, the ignorant humility of I don't know, but then came the arrogant humility. I know I don't know what I don't know, but I'm afraid to ask for help. And I'm afraid to let other people know that I don't know. Even though they know I don't know, right?
It's true.
Very true.
It's true.
And so what happens within the context is two things that I learned. I didn't ask for help. And so even though I had $100 million, I had a $40 million line of credit. And that got changed to a $1 million line of credit because I didn't know what I don't know. I didn't ask anyone for help. I didn't know that banks could do that. I didn't know banks could go under. And when you are extremely successful with extremely successful projects, which I had, your life becomes very difficult when you're running a $40 million line and it gets narrowed down to a $1 million line and they can call money on you and the person that you were at the bank with for 10 years isn't there anymore, so he doesn't have to talk to you.
Yep.
Your personal bank, your personal relationship.
Of course not.
Number one, young millionaire, Dave Meltzer, you know, sucking in my ego every time I walked in. Oh, one champagne, Mr. Meltzer. Come into the private. Everyone's in line over there, Mr. Meltzer. Yeah, F you, it's Mr. Meltzer. We just took $39 million of your line. Now, go ahead and feed those successful businesses the way you need to.
Yeah.
And you're in a lawsuit.
Impossible.
So you need extra cash. So here's the interesting lesson beyond the best advice I can give everyone. 18, 28, 38, 40. I'll be giving you this lesson 20 years from now when I'm still in Malta visiting you. And you own that palace over there.
Nice.
I'll be saying, you know, Zach, the best piece of advice I can give you, ask for help.
True.
Be radical humble.
I think most entrepreneurs have that issue. And, and
let me give one more nuance, though. I apologize.
No, go ahead.
The newest lesson I learned about humility, because I'm a parent, four kids. So I'm on social media like you.
Yeah.
I thought arrogant humility, these, you know, ignorant, arrogant people were the haters. Mm. The ones who were like, you're fat. You stole gratitude from Gary Vee. They're just stupid stuff, right? And here's the funny thing. Even some of the stupid stuff, Zach, hurts my feelings.
Of course, same.
I'm 55.
Yeah. Same,
I'm 55. Yeah. Still some of the stupid stuff. But here's what I've learned. The most dangerous, ignorant, arrogant people are the people that love us the most.
Mm.
Our parents, our friends. And I'll tell you why. Because if someone really loves you,
I tell you,
they're more afraid for you than you are for yourself. So when they help you or give you advice, it's based off of fear. Be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Why?
Yep.
It's a stable job.
Of course. Of course.
You got to quit being an entrepreneur. I told you that wasn't going to work. They're not saying that because they hate you.
Of course.
Or they're stupid like the person that calls you, you know, you stole gratitude.
Yeah.
They're afraid more for you. I'm a parent.
Yeah.
I know this. I still have to fight giving my kids bad advice that's based off of fear. Right? Or off of something that I want for them.
It's our nature. You
know? It is.
It's our nature.
So I think this idea of humility through the longevity of my journey, understanding I don't know what I don't know, and I'm afraid to tell people I don't know what I don't know, even though they know I don't know what I don't know, whether they're ignorant, humble people or ignorant, arrogant people, is the key to always asking for help, which is another form of being more interested.
Yep.
Because remember, two questions that prove you're more interested than interesting. Would it help you if? Because now I know what you like or don't like. Or do you know anyone that could help me? Now you know what I like or
exactly,
don't like.
Exactly. On the humility part, I'm sure kids have helped in that journey. So how have having kids changed your life? What have you learned? And what are the lessons that you teach them, apart from what you've told us today?
Yeah, well, first, the biggest lesson is about fear. And it relates back to learning about ignorant arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what you say, that's your greatest fear. Anything, it causes problems for your kids. Because you, if you have stuff, like, my mom was afraid for me, but she didn't have anything to give or
it's
take.
It's different.
This love. So it's just understanding humility and arrogance and being afraid. Because there'll be no greater fear in your life. Now, how do I empower my children to reduce the fear by using time to reduce it is that there's two different things that I tell them. One, every day are the three things my dad never told me. I tell my kids every day, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. Every day, my kids, I pound it in them. They give me a minimum amount of time every day. And the first thing is, and the last thing is, I tell them is, hey, before we start, I just got off with my daughter who's 22. I just want to remind you, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. So
it's very powerful.
Get choked up because my dad never said that. Now, people ask me the lessons I teach my kids. This was the antidote to the arrogant ignorance, the fear of being a dad. I expect three things from my kids, no matter what they do, no matter what they study, what sports they play, what grades they get. I have three questions for them every day. Did you do your best on that Spanish test? What did you learn? And did you have fun doing it? So even a Spanish test, my 13-year-old son rolls his eyes like, Dad.
How could I enjoy that?
Yeah, exactly. And then I tell him the trash story. The superpower of life is finding the light, the love, and the lessons, giving meaning to what you don't like to do.
It's true.
If you can learn to love what you do, it will tell you all its secrets. And those secrets are the same cheat codes you use in your iGaming and your video games. It's so easy to level up when you know the cheat codes. If you want all the cheat codes in life, then be more interested than interesting. Find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything you do. Learn to love even the things that are hard, and you will get all the cheat codes. And people are wondering, like, how is his life so easy instead of dis-easy? Because I got all the cheat codes.
Yep. Cool. So in context of that, and just to conclude here, when you gave me this opportunity, so I've been thinking a lot about my business and my career. I'm 24, so I'm in crossroads of having done my business for 6 years with 20 people, so it's successful, you could say, here definitely. But I've really understood that I have a passion of sharing much more, of having conversations like this. And so I think this will be the first episode of my podcast. So this is, I've always wanted an international guest to start and to just give me more exposure of what's out there because naturally of the size of the island. So to be humble and ask you a question, what are some words of advice to me in the podcast game to get better guests, make better content, business-wise, anything?
I love it. So a couple pieces of advice. One, do 10 episodes before you launch.
Okay.
If you do 10 episodes before you launch, you'll be in the top 1% of all podcasts.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Most people quit before they get to 10, yeah. Right? Because they're not consistent and persistent. Two, I hate to hammer this home. You know what's coming. Ask for help.
Yeah.
Look, guys like me, all we want to do is help people like you.
That's true, man.
And probably out there, nobody has had more podcast guests than me. Even Joe Rogan, I because I do so many shows.
I know.
The Playbook has 1,600 plus episodes. Office Hours, we have minimum three guests a day.
Crazy.
Right? And then we have the TV show Office Hours. Then we have the TV show Playbook. Then we have Instagram Lives where I average three guests a day as well. Nobody has more guests in the world than David Meltzer. I may not be the number one, and I know a lot of people love to lie to you and say I got the number one. I know I've been not number one, because Joe Rogan and my, but I've been in the top 10 before, but it's week by week.
For sure.
Sometimes I'm 209, right? I'm just the only one that's honest about, you know, I don't need to put top 10 podcasts, but I will tell you, I have had more guests than anybody, and I've had the biggest guests in the world. Very few people have had, you know, all the people that own football teams and Cameron Diaz and Deepak Chopra, Sadhguru, Bob Proctor. I mean, some of the guys I've been doing this so long are dead. You know, all the Hall of Famers and Chicharito and it's Tom Brady. Like, who does this stuff?
Crazy.
Right. So I'm your source, baby. Let's do 10. I will introduce you to a ton of people.
Thank you.
And, you know, then you're going to ask them for their spheres of influence as well.
Cool.
If you do 10 and ask for help, you'll have a top podcast, probably the number one in Malta, and maybe in the world.
Thank you so much, Dave. Pleasure.